From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, this morning, we've come into your presence. We've come into your house. Bible says that when we gather like this, in your name, you are here and you will be there where we are gathered. I believe you are here this morning. I believe you have a word for us. I pray that we will have ears to hear. I pray that Lord will have the mind to understand and that the heart to receive the seeds that are just about to be planted. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Well, we are excited to be here. You know, it's exciting. Even the building alone brings excitement. You know, when you are building your own house, many people don't have their own house. You are either living with mommy, or you did by some man, or some girl. There are some guys who do that. They stay by some girl. Cooper, some people are squatting. Hallelujah. But it's exciting to have your own place. And God is going to give you your own house, your own place. Hallelujah. As you help, as you serve, and we give God a place, He's also going to help you to also get your own place. How many want your own house? You want your own house? Yeah, because you need your own toilet. Sometimes the toilet you sit on, about 20 people sit on the same toilet. Yeah. And then you get UTI and all those things. So the ladies, you get, there's something they call what? Viral infections. You get this milky thing coming out. It's because the bowl you sit on, enough people sit on it who don't wash themselves well. If you get your own toilet, man, then you can go there and read your Bible without thinking of somebody coming to knock. Because sometimes in the morning, there's traffic, like on the Harbor Bridge. So as you go inside, somebody's also knocking. You done yet? You done yet? Me done yet, man. Yeah, you taking long? Because there's only one toilet in the house. No, so it's always refreshing to have something that belongs to you. Even a vehicle. To have your own vehicle, it's nice. You can spray it any color you want. The seat, if you like, you can take out the seat or put in seat. You can put in chairs if you like and take out the seat. Can take out the seat. Whatever you want, you can tint the windows. You can put in music. Whatever you want. You can take one of these music boxes and speak and then put it inside. Once something is for you, you have the liberty to do anything you want to do with it. So we are so excited that God has blessed us with such a place to worship Him and to serve Him. You know, so you have to begin to understand what it means to have something that belongs to you. This is for us, because I don't sleep here, you don't sleep here. We all come here to serve God. Are you with me? You should see how some young families are so desirous of getting their own place, going to the bank for a loan, and then they say no, they can't get the loan, and it's this and it's that. Okay, people are so excited, and when they finish, sometimes they don't even finish, they want the pastor to come and open the place. It's a very exciting feeling to have a place called your own, you know. And we have been here for many years. We've squatted in some small buildings. We have been promoted, but the real promotion is in something like this. What do you think? Yeah. This is a real bishop's church. A bishop's church shouldn't be smaller than this. You get it? So God is going to help us. We're going to build. Yesterday, an electrician was here to help us do some work. He said he can't imagine how this place is going to look when it's finished. I said, but you don't even come to the church. You are talking about how the place is good, you know. So people come here and they are even wondering on our behalf. They are imagining. Friday, a driver came here, brought some materials, and he said, "Man, Pastor, my skin grew. I don't know how many of you skin grew when you came inside." He came, when he entered, he said, "Man, look, my skin grew." I said, "My skin has not been growing. How come your skin?" But it's all well and good. God is helping us. And I believe that you must be excited every Sunday when you are coming here. Amen. Wonderful. So this morning I want to talk about the presence of God. The presence of God. And my title is, "What Defines the Presence of God?" What defines the presence of God? Petrona, are you there? What defines the presence of God? What is the definition of the presence of God? The presence of God is very important. You see, as Christians, the one who is most important to us, I'm not going to say supposed to be, because there's nothing like supposed. The one who is important to Christians is and must be God. Should I say it again? I said, in Christianity, the one who is important and must be important to you is God. You cannot be a Christian and then your mother is more important to you than God. You cannot be a Christian and then your father is important to you than God. It's wrong. Are you with me? I don't know why you're on your phone at this time. I'm talking, so you should listen to what I'm saying. Sometimes you WhatsApp when you're in the church. So now I'm talking. So if you don't look at me, it means that you're doing something else. I'm not sure whether you're writing notes. There's nothing to write at this point. I'm explaining something. So I want you to look my direction. Don't bow your head. If you bow your head, it means you're doing something else. How many understand a simple thing? Because you have your phone, you're on WhatsApp, you're on text messenger, you have internet. Maybe you should put something here. When you come here, you won't get signal. Only when you want to give offering with your phone, then you get signal. Akil, are you with me? People get sidetracked to go on their phones and do all kinds of things. So I'm saying that the most important person for us as Christians is God. No matter how beautiful my wife looks, no matter how important daddy is to me, God is the most important person. When you become a Christian, when you turn a Christian, the most important person in your life is God. Nothing else. Nobody else. Otherwise, you have not given your heart to him. You see, you can't give part of your heart to God and give part of your heart to money. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Nobody can serve two masters. So there's only one master you can serve. And that one master is God. Are you with me? Now, when God is that important to you, his presence also is also important to you. Now, those of you who so-called fall in love, some of you fall in love and you love to be in the presence of that person steady. In fact, you quarrel or you row when that person, you don't see that person steady. It's like you get another woman or war. How many understand the simple thing I'm trying to talk about? Love somebody, especially boy, girl. You want to be in each other's presence. That's why some people move in to live with some boys in their mother's home. Me, I don't understand that thing. I don't understand boys who moved to go and stay in the house of the girl when the girl is with her parents. That, to me, that is madness to the highest level. I don't also understand how girls will also move into a boy who is, I'm not talking about a man, or he moves to a boy. A boy is different from a man. You get used to my preaching just now, don't worry. A girl who moves in to live with a boy who lives with his mother. And nobody can tell you to leave him and you leave him. We are even not interested to tell you to leave him because you will not listen. Because you have not come to understand who is the most important person in life. The Bible said, blessed is the one who trusts in God. And he said, cursed is the one who trusts in man. That's what the Bible says. There's a curse on people who trust in men. Whether boy or girl, whether woman, male or female. So, when God is the important person in your life, then his presence also is important to you. And that is why I come to church. That is why there's a song that says, I love to be in your presence. Because I love you and I'm so much in love with you that Sunday morning, at least Monday to Saturday, but Sunday morning, I love you so much that I want to be with you Sunday morning. Why should anybody discourage me from coming to the presence of God on Sunday morning? When Monday to Saturday, I've been doing my own things. When Monday to Saturday, I've been looking for money that I can't find. When Monday to Saturday, I've been doing all kinds of things. Then come Sunday morning, my clothes that are dirty is going to disturb me from going into that. How many of you will stay away from the presence of your boyfriend or husband or wife because your clothes are dirty, you have to wash? Get out of here. Get out of my face. You wash later. You don't even care. You take one of the dirty clothes and put it on and put some. Because the individual is more important to you than the situations that are there. I'm talking about the presence of God. For some people, it's their job. Their job is so important. So, if the presence of God is very important to you, I want to talk to you about it. How many want to hear about what I have to say to this morning? Yeah. If the presence of God is important to you, that's what I want to talk to you about. If you love God, you want to be with God. I want to talk about that presence. I'm sure you understand that every relationship here on earth will end. One way or the other. Death will pass. Even if you don't, apart from all the misunderstanding that arises in life. No, it's very sad though. Look at the story from the Arakari resort the other day. Where a boy took a girl to the hotel like they were going to have a good time away. Only that was the last time the girl was going to be alive. How can a boy be important to you than God? You see, when you read these things and God cannot be important to you than a man, something wrong with your head. Because your deception is that it will not happen to you. The girl also never thought it would happen to her. The guy also never thought that he would die like that. And that's the deception. We never look forward to changes in our lives, especially changes for the changes that we can't even handle. We always think that things are going to be the way. No condition is permanent. There's a minibus. There's a trot in Ghana. They've written in front of it, no condition is permanent. You will never be the same. Your state is never going to be the same. In fact, you are changing tomorrow. You don't even know. Last night, one of my pastors was telling me that, you know, the husband is not well. She was telling me that the husband has his case is getting too serious that he urinated on himself yesterday. Is it somebody who can just go to the washroom and then now he doesn't even feel when he's urinating? No, it tells you that no condition is going to be permanent. So, you want something to be permanent? God is the only permanent person. thing, the relationship with God is the only permanent relationship that is there, that exists. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. You see, a time is coming. I remember my father. My father built a house and then he put his self-contained. He has his own bathroom. That was the only bathroom with hot and cold. Yeah, every place is, when you turn it, cold. The only place you get hot water is in my dad's bathroom. And he always locks his room. I see, me, I used to be very inquisitive. I seem to find a key. And then I bath when he has left the house. So I can bath hot water. And my father was so observant that he knows when somebody has come to his bathroom to bath. So he changes the position where he keeps the key. Now, my mother used to row. Why is that? It's only you use bath, hot water. But the man didn't mind her because he had lived with her for so many years that now she's almost like not important to him anymore. Because he made my mother a room for herself and he made a room for himself. There's just a connecting door. And everybody had their bathroom separated. He has a heater, hot and cold. Mommy doesn't have hot and cold. Yeah. Yeah. My mother will row all the time. Yeah. When my father got sick, he had a bell. You know, the bell in school. He had one by his bedside. So when he needs my mother, he rings it. Then my mother would say, me ain't coming nowhere. you have moved me out of the room. You have so why don't you just help yourself? When you go home, they used to row a lot. Hallelujah. But I remember his bathroom had like one, you know, it's about two or three levels of blocks like that, you know, tiled and all of that, so that, you know, the water doesn't come out. So he will step in and go and bath. As he aged, he would take one level off. After a couple of years, he would take the other level off until the level was so low that when you bath, water comes outside. Now, even the lowest level, at the point, he had to hold his leg like that and then raise it over and then hold the wall and bring this one. No condition is permanent, though. You'll not be strong forever. If you are building a house that has upstairs, remember that at a certain age, you can't climb the stairs unless you put in an elevator. So when you despise people with flat houses, think about yourself. Those who are building big houses with steps, a time will come. 3 stories, 4 stories. A time is going to come. Somebody has to even hold you to go up the stairs. You want to make a room downstairs to sleep in. No condition is permanent. So if you don't love yourself and love your life to connect with permanent things, there's something wrong about that. So I'm saying that God must be the most important person in our lives. And therefore his presence also. But because we don't see God, we don't know God's address. God's address is connected to the church in a way. There are other addresses, including your house and including your body. Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if we love God and if God is that important to us, then his presence also is something we need to know and find so that we'll always be in his presence. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Wow. Are you learning something? This place is filled already, you know. Can you see the people here? There's plenty. Matthew chapter 18, isn't it? Matthew 18 and verse 20. What does it say? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So is God here? Is God here? Hey, some people, some boys are sleeping. Is God here? Are you sure God is here? America, is God here? Do you believe God is here? God is here. Why is God here? God is here because the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. He's here. Not when you gather at a party, because the party is not in his name. Unless the party is to the honor of God. So God is here. That is why I say that we stand up because God is here. That's why we don't sleep because God is here. Because if God is that important to you, you won't close your eyes. How can you go to, I say boyfriend because we know that more. Husband and wife is something you will not be able to relate with it. That's why I say boyfriend and girlfriend, because that's what we know more. You can't go by your boyfriend and then as you're sitting there, you're talking and then you just...
Get out.
No, when you go into somebody you love's presence, you don't close, you do. I remember a young girl messaged me and said, Bishop, I'm engaged. I said, wow, praise the Lord. I'm going to get married this month. Some month. I said, wow, congratulations. Then the third, Bishop, I want you to marry us. I said, well, your engagement, you didn't tell me. You are announcing your marriage to me. Now you want to put me inside your trouble also. So I said, sweetie, hold on. To get me to marry you, there are regulations. Just as you fell in love and everything, they didn't talk to anybody. Nobody should mind your business. Why do you want to mind my business? So if you want to mind my business, there's a way to mind my business. If you want me to marry you, there's a way you do it. So I told her to call my office and ask for how to get the bishop's presence at your marriage. So she called. They told her. She said, yes. She said, Bishop, the date is this date. Is it okay for you? So I said, did you call the office? The lady said, yes. I said, did you really understand what you were told? And she said, oops. I said, please call again. When she called again, she said, oh, Bishop, I would have really loved for you to marry us. I said, now you understand where you are coming from. You can't tell a big man that there are things. People's presence are not so cheap.
Come on now.
People's presence are not cheap. You get people to come to where you are because they love you. People just don't go anywhere. People come around you because they love you. People come around because they are interested in you or they are looking for something from you. Sometimes because you drive a car, that's why somebody comes around you, so that they will always be in your car. Get the permanent seat. Because you have money, that's why somebody comes around you, because you have money. So people's presence is very important now. So if God is here, the person where two or three are gathered in my name. So God, Derek, God is here. Now if God is here, then I have to understand that I have to probably behave in a certain way. Because if you sleep in the presence of somebody who is important, it means that you are not interested. Yeah. And you will not pay. You see, I one day I went to watch some emoji movie. What's the name of that movie? Emoji movie. Is emoji movie? Oh, I thought it had a name. Emoji Movie. Oh. I went to Gifland Mall to watch Emoji Movie with my wife and children. The children wanted to go and watch. When we started the movie, it's some phone. And the emojis are inside the phone and they're having fellowship. They are doing whatever they're doing. And then when whoever owns the phone wants an emoji, then they fight to see which one will come. Calvin, 15 minutes into the movie, they say, Daddy, you sleepy? People fighting on somebody's phone. It's like the person is typing and then he goes to the emoji part. And the people say, yeah! Everybody's waiting to be chosen to come on the phone. What a movie. And they were excited. They were watching. I was gone. I slept. It was when the movie finished. They said, Daddy, the movie done. I said, okay. All right. I mean, to pay money to go and sit in a cinema hall and sleep, it means that you're not interested in the movie. You're not interested. Who will pay money and go to a movie and then, you get some 3D glasses, get some popcorn. And a big something, Coke or something, and sit down there, and you're excited. Even when they're doing the commercials, you're excited. You're waiting. When the movie starts, when somebody's talking, say, what happened to them? Why are they talking so? We won't watch this. You can even fight to somebody in the cinema because they are talking. That is how, if God is here, your attention should be. So when you are here, you are texting somebody who is not here. It means you don't know that God is here. It means you are ignorant that God is here. It means that you don't know what constitutes the presence of God. I want to make it very, very simple for you this morning. Three things you need to know that constitutes the presence of God. Number one is what we call the aura. A-U-R-A. Aura. Aura. The aura. Three things that when you come across it, you should know that God is here. Bible says Jacob was sent by his father to go to his uncle's house, and then it was late in the evening, so he laid somewhere, took some stones for his pillow, and he slept. Genesis chapter 28. And the Bible says that, and he had a dream. And there was a ladder that was so high that it touched the heavens. And then angels were coming down on the ladder and angels were going up on the ladder. And then the Lord God stood above on top of the ladder and he started talking, speaking to him. When he woke up from the dream, the Bible says, Jacob said, God was in this place and I didn't know. So what constitutes the presence of God? How can you know? How can you tell that God is here? The first one is what we call the aura. Aura. A-U-R-A. The aura, Bishop defines the aura as, aura is like a smell. That when a guy came in and said, my skin grew, it's like, there's a presence. There's something here. Sometimes people think it's jombi. Because some people, the only jombi you use feel. when your skin crawl, it's jumbi use. It must be some jumbi around here. No, you can't only feel for jumbis. Eh? Why? You use a jumbi hunter or something like that? Are you bounty hunter? Are there jumbi hunters also? Is there something like that? Eh? There are bounty hunters and jumbi hunters. Is there something like that? Gee. You're not sure if they're jumbi hunters. Huh? Aura. In Genesis, the aura of a person speaks of the sensation and the impression you experience when a person is present. You see, let's say you lose your mother or your father. And then after the whole funeral, everything, you go home. And then you enter the house. And then you get a sensation. Even though your mother is not there, but there's a certain aura. I don't know if you understand me. There's a certain smell. There's something that makes you feel like mommy is here. Even when you go to people's grave, you go to the cemetery, you go to the burial ground, and you see people's tombs, and you are related to the person. Some people can really break down right there. Why? But the person is dead. It's just bones. But you see, well, that's what we call aura. There's like a certain sensation. God also has that. When God is in a place, you can feel the sensation. I'm trying to translate into words what you feel and to tell you what it means. Because so people feel things. You can feel hungry. That's what everybody knows it. I'm sure some of you are feeling it right now. The hunger feeling has come. some of you, if we were going to give you break to go and buy juice, you go and buy juice and come back. You want a church that has breaks because you feel thirsty. Some of you, you want to go to the washroom. You can't sit down for half an hour. You must go and empty your bladder. Because that feeling, you know. And when it's strong, it's strong. I am telling you about a certain feeling you can get for you to identify that God is here. You see, when Jacob had that dream, nobody had to tell him that there's something about this place. I have slept in places. You don't sleep on a stone and get a dream for God to speak to you. When you put your head on a stone, you can easily twist your neck. You can't sleep. If you put your head on a stone, you have to put your head on a stone to feel what I'm talking about. Not when your head is swinging without a pillow. You have to put your head on a stone. You can't even sleep well. You can't sleep well when your head is on a stone. People, you can't. You know how people are very particular about pillows? Get some soft pillows. Some people have about 8 pillows they sleep on. 4. Some people have 4, including teddy bears who have become companions and partners on the bed. Yeah, a lot of people sleep with teddy bears. It's demonic. It's an idol. Why are you sleeping with a teddy bear, Devon? It's like if you don't hug the teddy bear, you can't sleep. Hello. So when you get married, are you going to hug the teddy bear? You're going to... All of you teddy bears, today you're in trouble. You make your bed and you leave the teddy bear on it like some human being waiting for you. Get out of here. Yeah. Husband come to the house, I'll shy the thing somewhere. We have one of our brothers. He's a big guy. He was traveling one day. You know him, right? He was traveling one day. He's a big boy. He was traveling with a teddy bear. I drove them to Suriname Airport for them to, they were going to Africa. So they went on board the plane and they took off. When we were coming back in Pastor Calvin's vehicle, they said, "Hey, teddy bear." I said, when I hear teddy bear, I think of a small 5-6-year-old girl, right? Not even boy, 5-6-year-old girl. So when adults have driven from Guyana to Suriname Airport, and then when we are coming back, there's a teddy bear, big one in the vehicle. I was just wondering which little girl came with us that I didn't see. Then somebody said, "Oh, it's not a little girl. It's Brother Clint Owen." Brother Clint was going to Africa with a teddy bear. Hey! He has never had peace in our church because of the teddy bear. How can you take teddy bear to Africa with you? Big teddy bear. So I'm sure some of you have teddy bears in your house. The aura of a person speaks of the sensation and the impression that you experience when a person is present. So when you come here, my prayer for you is that you have that sensation. That it won't just be coming to church and singing and listening to me and all of that preaching, but that you will feel the sensation of the presence of God. You see, and when that happens, nobody will tell you to cry. Nobody will tell you to go on your knees. I'm sure it's going to be very, if I tell you to go on your knees right now, I'm sure some of you say, what? When you go to the Catholic Church, the Father doesn't even tell you to go on your knees. You go on your knees yourself. Once they raise the thing, you go right down. If you are going to put your knees down here, it means that you have gotten to understand something that somebody else doesn't understand. When you sense God's presence, this place is not even dirty for you. You lie down. You think about the dust later. Folks, let us come to the place where when we come to church, we don't go back the same way. I said, let us come to the point in 2020 where when you come into the church, you don't go back the same way. We must come and believe God to smell and to have that sensation that speaks of his presence, which is the aura. Hallelujah. You see, for those of you who grew up with fathers, a father is a very, very powerful thing. And your father can be home. And you know he's home. You've not seen him, but you know he's there. You behave yourself. You know he's in his room. You have not seen him. You have not even heard his voice. But you know, oh, where's daddy? Also, daddy is in his room. You have not seen him. You have not heard of him. But there's a certain, you move in a certain way. That's how the presence of God is. The first one is the aura. The number two is his voice. The voice of God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Bible says, and when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. When they heard the voice of the Lord, they had not seen him. They had not seen him. But they went to hide. Why? Because when they heard the voice, they knew he was around. I tell you of my story when I got my own room. I had a girlfriend. And sometimes you want to behave like a big man. So you want to bring your girlfriend home. My bedroom is on the left, it's on the right. When you're entering our house, my bedroom is on the right side. My father's bedroom is on the left side. Both of us have windows that you can peep. You can peep the gate who is coming. The middle part is the living room. So when I'm taking my girlfriend home, my father didn't cast the yard. He put stones, like at the back of Hebron, those big stones. So when you enter the house, there must be a sound. I mean, the man was smart that when you are coming, he doesn't need alarm or he doesn't need a camera. You will hear that somebody is coming to the house. So late in the night also, it's so obvious. You know, when late in the night, sound travels faster. So I'll bring my girlfriend home and then you know he's there. You see his car. He's there. I mean, those of you who know my car, when you came in this morning, you probably saw my car. You didn't see, but you know that I'm around. So because of that, I don't just walk in any house. Sweetie, let me go. No. His car is parked. It's late in the night. I've not seen him. I've not heard him on the phone. But I tell my girlfriend, let me walk at the same time. Ready? All right, ready, go. Left, together. So God said, he's not watching me. He's not listening. But his presence makes me behave in a certain way. And I will do that for just about 3 minutes or so before I get on the veranda. But Now, that small stretch, I always am careful. I just don't just... How many understand what I'm talking about? You see, maybe you don't understand, though, because many of you, you don't bring a girl to the house that your mother doesn't know. Your mother knows. Me, I couldn't, my mother would know, but my father couldn't know. You know the woman? That's when the father is no home, it's not good. My mother would say, "Oh, hi, how are you doing?" My father, I go, "Hi, Raka, hi, Raka, hi." My mother would say, "You want to eat something? Have you eaten?" My father, you don't even want him to know that somebody's in the house. Because of the presence, I you have to tiptoe. Tiptoe. Some of you don't understand because nobody can tell you what you must do. Including bringing a girl to the room that you and your brother are sharing. Because there's no daddy to give you a cough on your face. It's because mommy, you can take mommy on. Mommy is not anything. But if you have a daddy who started beating you when you were young, so even though you are getting beard, you know that this man, he could cough you good. that when I see someone like Wilbert, I just like, you can't joke in Wilbert's house if you're his child. He will cough you. It looks like someone who will cough you in the house. Like he was going to cough Rasta man. The voice. God's voice also constitutes his presence. Because when somebody is there, you can hear their voice. Imagine as you were coming, then somebody was on the phone. Yes, yes, okay. And you know the voice. So, he's here. You have not seen him, but you can hear his voice at the back there. It's like he's on the phone talking to somebody. That's how the presence of God is. It is the sensation you get, and it's also the voice you hear. Adam and Eve heard God's voice. God had not said anything to them. They had actually not seen him. But they went to hide. Why? Because when you hear the voice, once you hear the voice, you know he's around. Are you hearing God's voice this morning? Is God speaking to you this morning? Or you are thinking about your stomach? You are thinking about the washroom? You are thinking about when we will close? Is your mind here? Are you listening to what God is telling? Is God here? Can you hear God's voice? If you can hear God's voice, then God is here. The last one, his gifts. The gifts. 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 Oh my. You see? Gifts comes from the presence of God. The gift of a person shows his presence. Because if the person is not there, you won't get any gift. You get gift because the person. Dwight, are you here? You get gift because the person is there. When the person is not there, no gift. Are the ashes sleeping? Earl, are you there? You should check the ashes if all of them are sleeping. Awake, O sleeper. Gift. You only get gift from somebody who's present. Now, you can. But the gift and his presence, they are two different things. Because I can give you my phone, and then we ain't talking no more. But I will not take my phone from you. Because I gave the phone to you 6 months ago. But me talking to you no more, it doesn't mean that you still have my phone. But I am not with you. Me and you talking, we no relationship anymore. But I can give you the phone, and then we are here. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You're trying to. This is a gift I give to you. I give you the gift because you and I have a relationship. I know you. You know me. Then a time comes where we are not talking anymore. We don't even see each other anymore. But you still have the phone. You still have the gift I gave you. And that's how God's presence is like. That God can give you a gift. Let's say, a gift. Give me my phone. Let's see my phone. It's not a gift for you. It's me for. Hold on tight. So, there's a difference between a gift, the gift of God or the gift from God and His presence. We want the presence, but you want the presence, right? The presence is what brings the gift. So you can have a gift and then He's not with you. He's actually not happy with you. I mean, your mother can buy you a gift at Christmas, but probably He's not happy with you. But He has not taken the gift away from you. So the presence is higher than the gift. Do you get it? But when you get a gift, it means that the person's presence is around. So let's say, for example, when your eyes open to see something, it means that God is there. I had a dream. It means that night God visited you in your bedroom. That's how come you had that dream you are talking about. Anytime you see your gift, you should think about the presence of God. Never operate with a gift outside the presence. But a gift is because the person is there. If the person is not there, there won't be any gift. You can have the gift and the person will check out of your life. You will still be operating in the gift like many people in the Bible. Because the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So God can give you a gift. And then you and Him, many people are gifted. Many people, that's why you come across people who don't go to church, but they say, when I dream, it has come to pass. Have you met somebody like that before? They don't come to church. They don't even want to. When you talk to them, they don't have time for God, but they'll tell you, you know, sometimes when I just dream, it has come to pass. So the person is enjoying the gift, but the presence of the person who gave him the gift is not there. And you can be deceived and go to hell with a gift. Just like you can die in a car that somebody has bought for you, and the person is no, or you can die in a car. The same way you can die with a gift and go to hell. So the gift of God, and many of us are gifted. Many of us, if not all of us, are gifted in different ways. The gift must tell you that either God is there or once upon a time God was around. Yes. Anything that is a gift you have, it is the presence of a relationship with God. Without the relationship, the gift will work anyway. But a gift will deceive you. Can make you think that because of the gift, He's there. No, there's a difference between the gift and the person who gave you the gift. That's how Moses said, if your presence is not going to go with us, please, no matter where I go, I will never be happy. I can go to Canada. I can go to America. I can go to Jamaica. I can go to Germany, wherever. If your presence doesn't go with me, it will be just like I am in Ghana and I'm suffering. Because it's not the place that you have gone to. It is the presence that is with you. It's the presence that is with you that makes a difference. Oh. I tell you, I believe it's the presence of the Lord upon my life. That is what has made me come this far. Because I came to Guyana with nothing. I came with nothing. Well, I came with something. I came with a bicycle, a bed, you know. I had a box of juice, a case of juice. I brought juice. I brought milk. I brought rice. Because I didn't know there was rice here. Can you believe it? Yeah. I brought my own perfumed rice. I bought, I think it was 2 sacks. When you boil it, you can smell it from afar. Aroma of the perfumed rice. Basmati rice and all those kind of rices. I came. Because I said, Guyana, I don't even know whether they have rice. Not knowing the people produce rice in the country. It's just a parboiled one. I came with my own bed. Because I didn't know whether it was hammock I was going to come and sleep in. Me one sleeping on no hammock. I brought my own bed. Then my wife brought her bicycle. Yes. We had a small round table with two chairs for my two daughters. That was like a little dining table for them in the kitchen. We brought it. I still have the table up to today, 15 years later. Yes. I couldn't bring my TV. I would have brought my TV. I brought my books. I brought my DVDs, my video cassette, VHS. I brought all of them. I brought all my cassettes, C60 and C90. I brought all of them. Maxell C60 cassette. I brought it. I brought my own table and my own chair I used to use. I brought them. Because I said, maybe there's no table and chair where I'm going. Yeah, people sit on stones or something. I don't know. Like somebody told Pastor Greg when he was coming from Ghana, that the people, it's Boktok days where, you know, it's only Boktok they wear. They walk around with Boktok and bow and arrow. You want to go, they say, boo, 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 boo. Is that you going? They scared him, Pa. I came with nothing. It is the presence of God that has brought this. This is a sign of the presence of God. Yeah? This is the sign. I'm talking to you about the presence. When the presence is with you, I don't even want to talk about the advantages and the benefits that it comes with. But you have to be able to. You see, so, for example, as I close, when you smell the presence of the Lord, you have to learn to do things. You see, when you wash your clothes and you hang them outside and you see that it's going to rain, what do? You go and pick them up. Now, if you come to church and you sense, you smell, you hear, you feel the presence of God, you should do something. You either worship Him, or that is probably the moment where you have to even pray or say something. Because otherwise, it's passing, you know. The presence is not always here. It passes. It passes. So when you come to church and your skin crawl, maybe that's the moment you have to start confessing your sins. Maybe that's why you have to probably start jumping and jumping. Maybe that's why you have to learn when to do what when you sense something. Otherwise, you come and go, and it's like for many years you don't even know that God is here. Are you with me? When you're a child and you come to the presence of your father, your father is, you sense that your father is traveling. Ah, I mean, how many of us will say, oh, daddy, you traveling? Okay. Later. Jessica, if daddy says he's going to America, will you just say, later? No. So daddy, please must buy me something that you don't even, some dolly, some 2020 type of dolly or something. Somebody was showing a dolly on I think it was on Twitter. The dolly is a girl, but it has a penis. So they put it on Twitter to tell people that be careful when you're buying things for your children. The other day I traveled and I bought something for my wife. When was the other day? Then she said, whenever you are traveling again, please bring the same thing for me. I've not even traveled yet. The person knows what to do when you are traveling. But we don't seem to know what to do when the presence is around. Jacob took a stone. And he placed it at that same place where he slept. And he said, this place is called Bethel, the house of God, because this is where I slept and I had a dream and God spoke to me. I will mark this place. This place will never go out of my mind. There's something about this place. Many Christians don't feel. They don't sense. They don't sense the aura. The sensation doesn't come. They don't hear the voice. The giftings, they don't even relate it to God. That's why you see Obia people, the gift is from God, you know. Because some of the things that an Obia person can tell you is true. Except that now, the person who gave the gift is not the one who is managing the gift. Yeah. So if you submit to you, if you submit to it, you submit to a devil. When you sense the presence, hey, maybe that's the time to say, Lord. The Bible said, Isaiah said, in the year that King Hosea died, say, I saw the Lord lifted high. He said, the train of his robe filled the temple. He said, he described himself as a man of unclean lips to see the presence of the Lord. When you see God's presence, something got happened to you, you know. You got to do something. Now, if the president comes around here, comes to engage you, you tell him something. You won't sheepishly say, "Oh, it's the president." No. If you really understand things, you say, "Mr. President, this place is too dark. Can you please help us with some light?" You won't just smile and say, "Mr. President." It means you don't understand who's the person's presence you have come into. You see, God loves us. He doesn't want us to come in here and go and come. After a while, you will even want to come again. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please. My time is up. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me. God is here. God is here. No movement at this time. No talking at this time. Every eye closed. No movement. Every head bow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sense your aura. You have spoken, but you continue to speak. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, as you are here, I commit everybody to you. Every problem, every challenge, every sickness, every disease, every yoke, every bondage. Let your presence affect all the things that pull your people down, that keeps them back. Let your presence this morning affect their challenges and their difficulties now, in the name of Jesus. Receive the touch of God wherever you're standing. Receive the touch of God. 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 He's here. Receive His touch right now. In the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for carrying every burden. You did that on the cross already. Whatever has popped up, that, Lord, you take care of it. Every burden be brought down. We commit all our burdens unto you this morning. Your word says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are with heavy laden. You give us rest. Let rest be exchanged for the burdens this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Makabara basike brende mekeri abakabro. Kasata barabake brende mekeri basatara balondos. Hallowed be thy name. Thank you. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your will. I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. Oh yeah, I'll say yes, I'll say yes. Lord, yes, to your will and to your Shikabara Bandoro Bokebrenes Bataya Bakandere Mekebresketaya Balondere Mekebronos Rekete Makaya Rasa Kaya Balondoro Mokebrenes Mate Makara Sataya Bakabrandas Lebolo Sikere Karia Bakabrandes Rekebo sotolo mokeberes. I say yes. I say yes. Lord, yes. To your will and to your will. I say yes. Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, and my answer will be yes. Father, thank you for your presence, your sweet presence, your sweet presence. Whenever we come here, Lord, may we encounter you in a wonderful way. Whenever we come here, may we experience you in a special way. Thank you. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. You are here this morning, you are not saved, you are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. You want to say, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to give my life to God. I want to be changed. I want born again. Bishop, I want 2020 to be the beginning of a relationship between me and God. So I can feel His presence. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, they had to hide from His presence. If you're a sinner, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, His presence doesn't come around you. Because light and darkness don't match. This morning you want to say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to God. I want to pray with you if you are here like that. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to be born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. Wherever you are, just your right hand. Bishop, please pray for me. Your right hand. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want my life to change. Please pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to please ask you to come to the front. I want to pray for you. Sing it. Sing it. Come. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. So Williams, God bless you. For God, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, friend. Oh, sing it if you know how to sing it. Sing it. Come to Jesus. That He gave His only Son. It's never too late to give your heart to Jesus. Come to the front. Whosoever believes, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life. Right. Bow bow down your heads, close your eyes with me, gentlemen. I want you to pray this prayer after me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I declare Jesus as Lord. I believe Jesus was buried, but he rose again on the third day. I believe Jesus is alive. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, this simple prayer, I am born again. My life has changed. I'm a new person. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Thank you, my Father, for accepting me and writing my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.